right, this is Pure Decking, show number 456 for Thursday, November the... That's not right. Today's November the 4th, I believe. Thursday, November the 4th, 1922. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and wondering if it's in fact time for a midlife crisis. On the panel tonight, we have a madman. What is up, madman?
Much. Got some cashews. That made my day. And, no, it's never time for a midlife crisis. It's just time to start banging 18-year-olds and buying convertibles. That's not a crisis. It's not a call for help. It's also not saying you have a small penis. It's just saying I'm a success in life, but I haven't actually gotten married yet, so I can go bang the supermodel I couldn't bang in high school.
Well, I mean, that escalated quickly. And the other part, half of the panel tonight, we have RU.
Hello. How's your weeks?
It's trying an official name out for the people yelling at me on the internet of the panel. Does that work? Not work? I don't even care.
Either way, I like the new intro.
Oh, the subtle.
Do you think I'm not paying attention? I'm always paying attention.
I figure you know you're usually playing 7 Days to Die. Madman's usually playing Fortnite. So I mean, you know,
it's not Fortnite.
I've never played a game doing a show ever.
What do you?
I'm not gonna lie to you, Morps. It wasn't Fortnite. Lately, it's either Minions or Overwatch or you know something like that. So it's never been Fortnite.
And I resent that I'm a child playing video games during the show. I'm just watching The Muppets today, okay?
Well, I only have one response to that.
Is the one where Gonzo comes out as trans?
No, someone's streaming season one so far. Hopefully they do the entire run of The Muppet Show. Season one, 1976. Episode 6. And I must say, dude, The Muppet Show is the edgiest shit I've watched in a long time.
You know, it really was back in the day.
Dude, there's some really edgy shit in here, and it's for kids. It's great. It's just a breath of fresh air.
Oh, the original Muppet Show was not for kids. It was intended to be an adult variety show.
Yeah, I know. It's this. I don't remember there being this much cabaret in it.
Well, I mean, you could get away with a lot on network television. They're puppets. I mean... But, anyways.
Yeah, I never got to see Jim Neighbors the same again after watching him on The Muppet Show.
Well, let's just get into the stories here since, I mean, unless you want to talk about the alcohol, honestly, I've got about a shot of Evan Williams and then I'm switching over to, you know, a little bit of dihydrogen monoxide, so,
Actually, don't have alcohol in front of me today. I should have water, but unfortunately, I've got some sugary diabetes drink or strawberry soda.
And an excellent impression of Homer Simpson.
Oh, except I should have said tough. Because that was never turned into a beer.
It was.
It was.
And
the lawyers shut it down.
Oh, they did? I thought there were still a couple of craft breweries that were making it just kind of as a license thing.
Well, I'll have a quick look it up.
I mean, it's a novelty beer. It's probably just, you know, Bud Light or something. But I mean, you just know the label. But
I found it's being sold as a collector's item now.
Oh, okay. Because I've seen a few people with
20 bucks for a bottle. 35 for a can, 100 bucks for the limited edition Duff Hype.
Jeez.
Yes, money to be made in collectibles.
Well, speaking of something that will eventually be a collectible, do the first story here. It's from Ars Technica. Modder pleads guilty to piracy charges and is going to owe Nintendo $4.5 million. i.e. he's going to declare bankruptcy. That's usually what that settlement means, is congratulations, you've just bankrupted this guy.
There are two corporations you don't fuck with their IP, and that's the mouse and the plumber. They're very litigious companies.
Well, the thing here is, the reason I want to talk about it, is they're not suing him for actually providing ROMs. They're suing him for selling mod chips.
Yeah.
So, Gary Bowser, and yes, his name is Bowser.
Yeah, I get it.
Gary Bowser will plead guilty to two federal felony charges related to his work with Team Executor, the maker of the SX line of Switch modding devices and other tools Bowser now admits were predominantly and primarily designed to allow purchasers to play pirated ROMs. So what they're doing is saying that no, homebrew doesn't count, emulation of other systems doesn't count, this is so people can pirate games. And of course, that is something people do with modded consoles. I mean, I've been modding Game Boys lately. I should probably shut up about that, since Nintendo's apparently litigious, even though it's a 20-fucking-year-old console!
Yeah, Nintendo don't care, man.
They don't support anymore.
You can't buy them anymore.
Doesn't matter, man. They go after ROMs. They go after everything. We've always known that.
Yeah.
They really like to keep a stranglehold on their IP. And I don't blame them. They have a good product. It hasn't changed in 40 years.
Yep.
I mean, look at all the other companies out there. They've come and gone.
Bowser.
Nintendo is still there.
Well, I tell you what, if you ever read up on Nintendo's business practices, especially with the original NES and SNES, I mean, you know, they were a beloved company by gamers, but all of their partners hated them.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of the guy's name now, the first president of Nintendo when they were doing the NES and the SNES, apparently he was an absolute asshole to deal with in the business market.
The thing is with Nintendo, I can go into the cupboard now, pull out a toaster, plug it in, and play a game. If I do that with an original, say, Xbox, it's bricked. You know what I mean? That shit lasts forever.
I was joking about modding Game Boys, but I literally, last time I was visiting my parents, we found some of our childhood Game Boys, mine and my sister's. So I took my Game Boy Pocket, my original one, I put an IPS screen, well, more accurately, I took the main board out of the original Game Boy. I got an aftermarket shell because I didn't want to cut up the original shell to fit an IPS screen in it. Stick an IPS screen in it. I've got a new replacement speaker coming for it because it turns out the speaker on it's punctured. And that's why it kind of sounds bad. But yeah, I mean, I've rebuilt this thing with a fresh case and new screen and all that. And I mean, this thing is fantastic to play on. It still works great. All I had to do was clean the main board with a little bit of alcohol where the buttons were to fix some sensitivity issues. I've got my sister's Game Boy I'm going to do, and I've got a few Game Boy Advance things I'm just going to start messing with because, I mean, it's like, this is a neat little hobby to get into modding these things. They're not that expensive, and the Game Boy SPs I've picked up off eBay are so shit-kicked that, you know, sanding the cases down and painting them and actually cutting on them is an option because, the case is useless otherwise, right? And yeah. If I do fuck it up, well, fine, I'll go get an aftermarket case. They're like $20. So, you know, but, I don't want to cut on these original Game Boy cases because they're still actually in really good shape, you know?
Yeah.
It's not that I have a problem with modding this original equipment. I know some people get really bent out of shape about that. You were telling me people were, you know, going to get a bent out of shape about painting the thing the wrong color. It's like, it wasn't an original color. I know. But it's like, yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm not doing it to collect it. It's because I wanted to start. I got playing it again. And it's like, yeah. So, you know, I don't blame them for that. I just kind of wish they were still making some of these things. But, let's see. DP View just said completely random. I just remembered apparently Timothy Chalamet, if I said that right, the actor kid person, has or had a YouTube channel where he was selling painted Xbox controllers. You know, that's the thing. The one thing I worry about with painting, you know, a handheld or a game, you know, a game controller, is that skin oil will discolor paint, especially if it's a light color. Now, you can lacquer them, you can clear coat them, and kind of, you know, help that a little bit. But I mean, you've really got to pick the right paints to get them to stand up to actually being used as a controller. Now, if you're making a display piece, I guess it doesn't really matter. But, so, anyways, back to the article here. Bowser, a 51-year-old Canadian national who went by the handle Gary OPA online, was arrested last year in the Dominican Republic before being extradited to the United States. The government is still seeking extradition of French national Max Luron, who was arrested in Tanzania at the same time as Bowser. Bowser pleaded guilty to 2 of 11 felony counts against him relating to trafficking and circumvention devices and conspiracy to do the same. Combined, the two charges come with a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison for selling people the tools to modify hardware that they own. Oh, that fucks me. That's the thing that fucks with me. Is it's like, if I have a Switch, if I open it up and start soldering shit inside of it, that's on me, you know. Don't go after the guy who sold me the soldering iron or the guys who sold me the circuit that I'm soldering in there. And even then, it's my hardware. Futurama got this right with the episode in the last season where Bender got super, super smart because they started overclocking him.
Oh, yeah.
They arrested the professor and the clone kid saying, you know, you made unofficial modifications to something you own? You monster! I mean, they got it right. But, anyways. So, in plea documents obtained by Torrent Freak, Bowser admits that he knowingly and willfully participated in a cybercriminal enterprise that hacked leading game consoles and developed, manufactured, marketed, and sold a variety of circumvention devices that allowed the enterprise's customers to play pirated versions of copyrighted video games between June 2013 and his arrest last year. So what that is he's saying they knew that you could play pirated games with it. That's what it is. It doesn't matter what the intended purpose was, you knew that you could do it. The plea goes on to admit that the enterprise attempted to cloak its illegal activity with a purported desire to support homebrew enthusiasts who wanted to design their own games, but the predominant and primary design of the enterprise's products was the allowed purchasers to play pirated ROMs. When Nintendo released new Switch hardware designed to thwart the efforts, Team Executor made new devices that could be soldered onto the Switch's internal circuit board, such as the plea document lays out. In addition, Team Executor's SXOS devices surreptitiously accessed Nintendo's servers and online gaming ecosystem without authorization, making use of servers that Nintendo maintains to facilitate internet connectivity and to authenticate the use of genuine Nintendo software, the plea reads. According to the plea document, the success of devices like Gateway 3DS, Stargate, True Blue Mini, Classic 2 Magic, and the SXOS line depended primarily on the availability of pirated ROMs. Bowser also admits that he and Team Executor created and supported ROM libraries for its customers to use throughout websites like Max Console and rombank.com. Okay, that one you got. There's that one, you're kind of stuck. I mean, modifying the hardware, making mod chips for consoles, I don't think that ought to be something that they're getting sued for. I don't think they ought to be going after them for that. It's like, you're making piracy tools. So?
Sorry.
I mean, you know, it's like, well, somebody could use your chip to pirate games. Yeah, they could. You should go after the people pirating the games, not the people who are modifying the hardware for fun. But
exactly.
Kind of depends. Can the chip be used for anything else?
Yes, homebrew.
Yeah, making your own games, man.
I know with Nintendo and with all of those consoles,
They licensed access to them.
They licensed access to them.
That's what that little Nintendo seal was.
You bought it. That's what the proprietary cartridge was.
Well, at least until Atari finally got around to cracking the lockout chip. So, okay, the way they did that was pretty interesting. Are you guys aware of how Atari, through their They went through a subsidiary company, and I'm forgetting the name at the moment, but they basically committed patent fraud to get the design of the Nintendo lockout chip, then abandoned the lawsuit. So what they were doing is they got access to the patent documents for the NES lockout chip, saying that they thought they had prior art and that they were going to sue Nintendo for for a patent lawsuit. Once they got their hands on the patent documents, they dropped the case. They then used the patent documents and reverse engineering, they were able to recreate the lockout chip, and that's where all those unlicensed, like RBI baseball and stuff like that were in the goofy cartridges came from. They didn't sell it under Atari, but Atari owned the company that was doing all of this. I'm forgetting the name of the company now. I've forgotten it. But that in itself is amazing. Of course, then Nintendo turned around and sued them, and they did win a judgment against them for the getting access to the patent documents in bad faith. But because they had also reverse engineered the chip, I think they ended up settling out of court, if I remember right. It's been a while since I read this stuff. But basically, that was kind of it. Once the design was out, because a lot of the internal software was trade secret, not patent or copyright, they could sue them for damages for patent infringement or for the bad faith lawsuit. But that was just basically write a check because they couldn't stop them from selling the games. So that's why they were able to keep doing it. And then I think it was EA was the one that cracked the Sega lockouts and started doing their own cartridges. And those were the Genesis games with the yellow tab on them.
Yeah.
And then I think EA ended up making a deal with Sega to quit doing that for really favorable pricing on cartridges and official boards and stuff like that. Because basically EA had Sega over the barrel because they had done pure reverse engineering. They didn't have anything. Sega had no way to retaliate against them. And it's like, we're going to sell our games anyways.
Sold.
Yeah. It's like,
the
we're going to
sold well.
We're going to sell our games anyways. You all can work with us or not.
It was a double-edged sword for Sega.
Yeah.
Because on one end, they had proprietary stuff that was getting fucked over by EA. But then again, EA had a product everybody wanted to buy that Sega didn't have the IP to.
Well, so, this was EA back when EA was a company that you wanted to work. Yeah, it was back when EA was a decent, decent company. It was
back when they made good games.
Yeah, it was back when they actually said Electronic Arts and meant it, as opposed to we're a corporate entity who just buys companies up and gobbles them. So, let's see, back to the article here. Quote, I am going to be busy setting up the underground stuff, ROM packs, cover arts, and emulators on Max console forums. That way, that will also help on the gray side of the device for those wishing to play more than the original SNES cartridges, Bowser wrote in an email quoted from Inductment against him. Yeah, you're kind of screwed there, buddy. You flat out admitted to building ROM packs. We have a plan in the works to have secure links to these retro ROM packs on a protected server, so it will not be a problem, Bowser said in another quoted email. While team executives generated a list at least tens of millions of dollars of proceeds from devices and software sales in 2013, I don't know where they got that number from. Bowser estimates he personally made only $320,000 from direct payments by Team Executor and advertising sales on various websites he controlled, according to the plea. Despite the small cut, Bowser has agreed to pay $4.5 million to Nintendo to make up for part of what the document says is between $65 million and $150 million in total losses from copyright infringement enabled by Team Executor. I mean, if that's a lot of Switch piracy. Since what's a Switch game? 30, 40 bucks?
Yeah.
That penalty is addition to the $750,000 in fines that could be imposed directly during sentencing. Plea deal seems likely to be officially accepted by U.S. Magistrate Judge Brian Shudia in the coming days before sentencing is handing down. Bowser also faces a civil lawsuit from Nintendo over the same work for Team Executor. So Yeah, at that point, he's planning on declaring bankruptcy and just like, yep, we're done. You know, yeah, sure. You know, $5 million, $10 million, $150 million. Sure, why not? And bankrupt. I mean, you know, yeah. At that point, who cares? He's just going to declare bankruptcy and, you know, hope that they don't manage to get jail time for selling mod chips. God, that blows my mind. Now, the ROMs, setting up ROM websites, yeah, you're kind of, I got nothing on that one. You're kind of guilty on that one. But, yeah, the mod chips themselves, I don't think that should be illegal. I don't think Nintendo should be suing them for making mod chips. But Nintendo's argument is that it's primarily to support piracy, but all you're doing is unlocking the hardware so it can run any code you want, and that happens to include piracy, even if that's the main draw. Of course, they've been making that argument for years about torrents and MP3 files, so... I don't know. All right, sensing nothing else on that story... Okay, this next one's from notebookchick.net. Kind of a no-duh, but at the same time, kind of a wow story. So, the headline on Notebook Check here, Coinbase notification scam steals $11 million in Bitcoin from a crypto account in 10 minutes.
Damn.
What do I always say when we talk about Bitcoin? Don't keep your Bitcoin in the exchanges. Get a hardware wallet or at least an offline wallet or even a fucking Raspberry Pi that you unhook and put in a case and set on a bookshelf when you're not fucking using it. In a warning to Coinbase users not to fall for fake customer service representatives, a subscriber got their Bitcoin account plundered with their own helping hand.
Of course.
Even with the most popular and secure crypto trading platforms like Coinbase aren't insured against flaws in their subscriber base, as one account holder learned the hard way recently. Denoted with the initials GR in respective court documents, the Coinbase user had just bought 200 Bitcoin back in April when they received a notification that their account was now locked. So they bought 200 Bitcoin through Coinbase and then get an email saying their account's locked. I see how that would panic them. Unfortunately, the account holder is now making crypto news since the notification wasn't from Coinbase, but they fell for it and called the phone number given thinking they were talking to a Coinbase customer rep. The scammer asked GR to carry out a series of tasks on his account, including allowing remote access, if it's fixed a problem. Instead of flashing a red light in the Coinbase account holder's mind, the requests of the unidentified individual 1, or UI1 as the lawsuit documents call it, got them full access to the wallet funds, informs Dan G. Boyle, assistant U.S. attorney. Quote, once granted access to the victim account, UI1 increased the daily transaction limit and also attempted to deactivate certain notifications and alert settings on the victim account. The total value of the virtual currency transferred out of the victim account between 202.40 PST and 212.41 PST on or about April 20th, 21. On or about, you have timestamps down to the second without GR's authorization, was approximately $11,570,138.
So, let me get this straight.
That's a day record.
Mr. tech support guy. You need me to give you access to my computer so you can access the account on your system that you locked out in your company, but you need my computer to fix this problem? These are things that should have been going through the head of anyone who got that email.
Oh, and you know the dude spoke perfectly broken English, too.
Please don't do the needful.
Yeah. Nothing more to be said, but, you know, yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you don't have to have an IQ to have money.
The scammer then began to move crypto funds between accounts until 10.2 Bitcoin finally ended up at one of the big cryptocurrency exchanges, Huobi Global. The investigators contacted Hubei after a judge granted a forfeiture warrant for the funds in October, and the exchange agreed to freeze the account while the case is ongoing. Needless to say, those 10 Bitcoins are just a consolation for GR, as there are still millions of dollars more to be recovered. But the notification scam story should serve as a warning to any Coinbase or cryptocurrency exchange holder out there. Look, it was either this one or the Squid Game cryptocurrency, and I thought this one was a better warning. It's like the Squid Game one is obviously a pump and dump. Like, we're going to capitalize on a popular TV show, do an IPO as fast as possible, and then take the money and run. That's, I mean, right? We all saw that, right?
I saw it coming a mile away.
So,
I mean, I was pissed off I didn't do it first.
Well, yeah, there's that. But, I mean, yeah. So, what's interesting is that either it's dumb luck that they timed the notification scam right after he spent a bunch of money on Coinbase, or they probably were already in his email account watching, you know?
That's, I think.
That's usually how that scam works, is when they get into the email accounts of people who routinely handle large transactions, say banks that do wire transfers for mortgages, and then watch the email until they see the appropriate transaction. Then they fake an email to, you know, cause the reaction they need, such as, oh, here's my updated wire transfer instructions, or there's a problem with your account, please call this number. I can see that. Of course, you know, if I get an email saying my Coinbase account is locked out, what's the first thing I do? I open up Coinbase and try to see, is my account locked out? What's the error I'm getting? That's always the fun thing, when you get the email saying your account's locked out and you look over at your phone, which is presently logged into an account, and you're like, no, it isn't. Your arm's off. No, it isn't. So,
don't believe what you see with your own eyes.
Yeah.
I think that could be this year's motto, actually.
I mean, when was this? May? April. So, yeah, that would have been trying to buy the dip. So, of course, now it's worth even more because Bitcoin shot up. Fuck, I don't know, man. I just... Be careful with your emails, guys. This is a classic fish.
Oh, yeah. But just to go along, holy shit, Bitcoin. $38,678 days. I don't know what that is in freedom units, but...
Let's see, according to, I'm supposed to have a tracker in this notification screen. No content available. The fuck? Wow, I got a lot of shit open on my phone. One moment. There we go, let's try this again. They have rearranged my widgets. Bitcoin is currently at 61,261... American oil bucks.
But the real one, the only coin you should ever be really on to, Dogecoin. 35 cents Australian EMU bucks. What? About 25?
It'd be about a quarter,
cents,
yeah.
America? Yeah. That's really holding stock.
It is, actually. Somebody go call Elon. Tell him to tweet more about Dogecoin here in just a minute. I need to buy some.
Yeah.
Well, let's, yeah. I mean, he's opened a lawsuit. Who's he suing? Coinbase, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't do anything.
Yeah, I know. It's what Coinbase is going to say. You let some third party into your account. Our terms of service say don't do that.
I mean. Money's gone. Never get it back.
Probably. I mean, they managed to freeze 10 Bitcoin, but yeah, I mean, that's a day wrecker. I mean, that's certainly a day wrecker. That's a lot of money to lose.
Yeah, learn from it, move on.
All right, well, speaking of moving on, next article is from The Verge. Clearview AI ordered to delete all facial recognition data belonging to Australians. Is there a known facial pattern that, you know, fits Australia? I wouldn't expect it, but
I have no idea.
Yeah. It's like, how do you have it tagged? I'm wondering. Controversial facial recognition firm Clearview AI has been ordered to destroy all images and facial templates belonging to individuals living in Australia by the company's national privacy regulator. I'm sorry, the country's national privacy regulator. Australia is giving Clearview an order. I misread that. So whether you want to read that as I said Australia was a company, or I was saying the company's, you know, the Clearview AI's privacy regulator. Yeah, okay. Clearview, which claims to have scraped 10 billion images of people from social media sites in order to identify them in other photos, sells its technology to law enforcement agencies. It was trialed by the Australian Federal Police between October 2019 and March of 2020. Okay, that is kind of a kick, you know, right there. That's a fuck you, where you're working with the cops, you know, year ago, and now the government's like, delete everything in your product that gives you value. So yeah, you go from working for the government to get bent over by the government, right?
You know why they're getting rid of it?
Why is that?
I'd say that facial recognition software has captured a certain few people in images that they probably shouldn't be in.
Ah. Caught the wrong person. Now they're screaming, shut it down. Just shut it all down.
We live in a police state right now. I don't see why they'd be getting rid of this tool. Makes no sense, considering they've just installed the nationwide safety cameras that fine you $1,100 for touching your phone while you're in your car. But yeah, I don't see why they're getting rid of it.
Now I kind of want to find one of those. I kind of want to find one of those cameras, the safety cameras that fine you for touching your phone while driving. Black out my license plate and drive by wearing a fucking Oculus Quest.
I'd pay to see that too.
Oh, you can spend in pass-through mode. You can see fine wearing them. You lose your depth perception though.
You could wear it
enough to do a quick drive for the lulls. I wouldn't want to take a long trip or do any technical difficult driving, but just down the road, fuck yeah. That's probably a bad idea. I am not a lawyer. Do not take legal or driving advice from me. I'm not a professional driver. It's probably not a great idea to go driving wearing a fucking VR headset. But if you do, take pictures.
Hold up. I have driven and been paid by someone to do so. That could make me a professional driver.
That makes you a professional driver, madman.
And as someone with no depth perception, and who has driven professionally without ever wrecking, I can say depth perception may be useful, but it is not strictly necessary to drive a car. Or a motorcycle. Or truck. Or boat. Or jet ski. I'm trying a plane, but no one has let me do it yet.
Oh, I've never actually tried to look out a window wearing the headset, though, so I don't know if glass would actually stop, because it's got cameras, but they're not like regular cameras. It's got all this IR and the room scale stuff, so it's reconstructing the image for you when you're doing the pass-through. It's not like you're just looking out through a camera, right? So I don't know how well that would actually work for driving. But I want to find out now just to fuck with people.
This is introducing more lag than just your brain into driving.
Yes! Which is why I wouldn't be comfortable doing it on highway. Say what?
I kind of want to do this. What's my latency in real life? Because this is one of those where everyone else has instant view to what they're doing.
You're
a couple milliseconds. And this is dangerous.
Going down the interstate is a high ping bastard.
Wow.
Oh, that's fucking terrible.
Now, following an investigation, Australia privacy regulator, the Office of the Australian Information Commissioner, I thought it said commissar for a second, but it's commissioner, has found that the company breached citizens' privacy. Quote, "The covert collection of this kind of sensitive information is unreasonably intrusive and unfair," unquote, said the OAIC Privacy Commissioner Angeline Falk in a press statement. Quote, "It carries significant risk of harm to individuals, including vulnerable groups such as children and victims of crime whose images can be searched on Clearview's AI database," unquote. Well, considering how
Clearview be searched on Facebook.
I was going to say, considering how Clearview built their database, they scraped social media websites, they weren't hacking into people's phones and taking the fucking photos, now were they? So,
they also weren't doing it covertly. When I put my picture on the internet for billions of people to see, and one of those billions of people look at my picture, that's not covert. Covert would maybe be, I don't know, sneaking into the crapper and hiding a camera in my, I don't know, shower, like a, somehow. That kind of might be covert. Looking at what I'm putting out for everyone on the planet to see isn't covert. It isn't spying. It isn't hacking. It takes no talent to look at.
Said Falk, quote, "When Australians use social media or professional networking sites, they don't expect their facial images to be collected without their consent by a commercial entity to create biometric templates for completely unrelated identification purposes. The indiscriminate scraping of people's facial images, only a fraction of whom would ever be connected with law enforcement investigations, may adversely impact the personal freedoms of Australians who perceive themselves to be under surveillance." Are you, as a professional Australian...
Am I currently under surveillance? I do not know. But I suspect...
Would this impact your use of social media? I can't even finish joke.
Very
I can't finish the fucking joke.
I am, according to the feminists out there, I am in a highly abusive relationship, though, with my government. They tell me what to do. They control my money. They don't allow me to go out and see who I want to see. I'm in a very, very bad relationship with my government. It's abusive.
So
forcing me to take drugs.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's the textbook for should you leave your abusive relationship? Yes.
We entirely expect that people who are vaccinated will still get COVID-19.
Attention, attention. There is no cause for alarm.
Okay.
New Zealand's got it worse than we do, man.
Oh, I've got a New Zealand story here. Next story after the next one. Investigation and clear use practices by the OAIC was carried out in conjunction with the UK's Information Commissioner's Office. However, the ICO has yet to make a decision about the legality of Clearview's work in the UK. The agency says it is considering its next steps from a formal regulatory action that may be appropriate under UK data protection laws. In other words, UK is still like, well, we could still use this. I wonder if this is knee-jerk because of all the bullshit going on in your country right now and the hate the cops are getting. Is this somebody knee-jerking? Can we do something to try to, turn the temperature down?
No, because that story isn't in the mainstream. There's nothing like that around. And I'd say they've told their company to go fuck himself, delete all of it. But I'll bet you the federal police are going to keep that database.
Oh, I'm sure. As reported by The Guardian, Clearview itself intends to appeal the decision. Quote, "Clearview AI operates legitimately according to the laws of its place of business," unquote. Mark Love, a lawyer for the firm BAL Lawyers representing Clearview, told the publication, quote, "Not only has the commissioner's decision missed the mark on the manner of Clearview AI's manner of operation, the commissioner lacks jurisdiction," unquote. Clearview argues that the images collected were publicly available, so no breach of privacy occurred. As much as I hate it, I agree with them. And that they were published in the U.S., so Australian law doesn't even apply. I thought several countries passed laws requiring the social media guys to store the images.
Yeah, under the Five Eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Thing.
So, but that Five Eyes pack's falling apart, see?
Yeah.
The new treaty that's come in, I haven't even looked at what they're doing with that yet. But,
So around the world, though, there's growing discontent with the spread of facial recognition systems, which threaten to eliminate anonymity in public spaces. Yesterday, the Facebook parent company Meta announced it was shutting down the social platform's facial recognition features, and deleting facial templates it created for the system. The company cited, quote, growing concerns about the use of technology as a whole. Meta also recently paid a $650 million settlement after the tech was found to have breached privacy laws in Illinois. So Meta says Facebook, I ordered these stories this way for a reason. Meta says Facebook is going to quit using facial recognition. Next story is from Apple Insider. Let me just paste these links real quick. Should have been a little more on the ball with this because I knew I was going to do this transition. Headline from Apple Insider. Meta continues the use of facial recognition technology. Facebook this week announced it will no longer deploy facial recognition technologies on its platform. But the social network's parent company, Meta, said that apparently Facebook is being sued for using this name because there's like another technology company already called Meta, apparently. So I'm sure there's a couple of them. But yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. But the social media network's parent company, Meta, said that commitment does not apply to its Metaverse products. It's like, no, this is why we made this parent company and made a new name. It's so we can still keep doing all of the awful and make headlines like, Facebook is going to stop using. Everybody, show of hands, who didn't see this coming? Nobody? Okay. Just making sure.
I think we all learned with Alphabet, didn't we?
Oh, I knew they were going to start being evil when they said, when they took out Don't Be Evil from their corporate motto.
Yeah, that's really kind of a no-win scenario when you make your corporate motto something like Don't Be Evil, and then you want to change it because
years down the track, yeah. You got to walk that shit back.
Yeah, because it's like, well, we're going to be a little bit evil. It's like, no, we just thought we came up with something better. We weren't planning on actually being evil. Then why did you change it?
Damn it, because evil can make money in the short term.
Yeah, it really can. Much to the delight of privacy advocates and critics of facial recognition technology systems, Facebook on Monday said it will shut down its facial recognition tool and delete the collected facial templates of more than a billion people. The technology, which includes controversial deepfake algorithm, was used to identify people and uploaded photos for tagging purposes. While Facebook is no longer using the facial recognition software, Meta on Wednesday clarified that the limitation does not extend to Metaverse products, reports Recode. Quote, we believe this technology has the potential to enable positive use cases in the future that maintain privacy, control, and transparency. And it's an approach we'll continue to explore as we consider how our future computing platforms and devices can best serve people's needs, unquote. Jason Gross, spokesperson for Meta, told the publication. According to the report, Meta will continue to use a variety of biometric tools as it moves aggressively into the metaverse. That includes DeepFace, the artificial intelligence technology that matches facial templates generated by Facebook's facial recognition systems with user photos. Meta's metaverse is a multi-user VR space currently accessed through Portal hardware. With complex avatars and real-time facial tracking on the horizon, the platform opens the door to new levels of user data collection that go far beyond the boundaries pushed by Facebook. Meta has not revealed what exactly it plans to do with DeepFace, but the company promises to keep users informed of upcoming changes. For any potential future applications of technology like this, we'll continue to be public about the intended use, how people can have control over these systems and their personal data, and how we're living up to our responsible innovation framework, unquote, Gross said. And that stands in contrast to Facebook's handling of facial recognition, which became an opt-in feature in 2019, some 9 years after it debuted. So, yeah, they ran it for 9 years before asking anybody.
Sounds about right.
So,
good news. When you put on your next Oculus Rift, you agree that Facebook owns your likeness, voice, and mannerisms.
Yeah, well.
This will help us
better serve you in the future.
Oh, for anybody who was confused, Facebook is renaming Oculus devices Portal. So that's where that came from. So I guess technically my Quest 1 could probably access Facebook's Meta bullshit. I don't think I've turned it on in a couple of months, though. So I don't know. We'll see. I might jailbreak the hell out of the thing and just turn it into a VR headset. Wireless headset for my desktop. Be a little bit more comfortable with it that way. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier because I'm discovering for some other things I probably do need to, you know, access some stuff on Facebook. And it's like, okay, how do I do this in a way that makes me feel comfortable? I know I'm not going to prevent them from tracking me. I know enough about how their system works to be concerned about what all it does. But I'd like to at least give myself the illusion of control. And the problem is I know too much about how this shit works to just think, oh, I'll only use Facebook and Chrome and I'll use Firefox for everything else. No, I know better. You know, it's one of these things where it's like, okay, how do I at least give myself the ability to deceive? You know, can I at least pretend that it's not tracking me 100% with everything I do? You know, as I use Google products and buy shit on Amazon, right? And have iPhones and everything else. It's like, you know, how can I at least pretend it's not as terrible as it looks?
I have a dedicated machine for it and never touch any other part of the internet with it?
Oh, that's the plan, actually. I'm going to set up a virtual machine that I can spin up running Linux, so at least I can trust the underlying OS not to be terrible. And, yeah, only use it within there and not from anything else. And I was looking into the app Friendly, too, which is on Android and iOS, and that supposedly runs it in a sandbox. I think it's really just
the name itself throws up red flags.
I know.
Me.
But from what I was reading on it, it's actually pretty good. It's basically a sandbox web browser, and it runs the mobile version of several social media sites in independent sandboxes. So at least it keeps it all kind of self-contained in one little corner of terrible. It's the same reason animals shit in the corner, so that it's not all over everything else.
Good analogy, but I don't think it's corporate.
You know what? I just realized something. I thought the story that I have, this next story, was about New Zealand, but it's not. It's about Newfoundland, and I just was skimming earlier. I completely missed what part of the world the story was in.
Well, I have no idea about Newfoundland or anything that goes on up there. Moose.
Yeah.
I think it's full of moose, isn't it?
I think they might exist up there. So we'll go ahead and there's the link in that. We'll throw the link in IRC. Stay on page. What? Oh. I was trying to open the link instead of... That's strange. Anyways, cyber attack confirmed as the cause... This is from cbc.ca. Cyber attack confirmed as the cause of healthcare disruptions in Newfoundland. The disruptions rocking the Newfoundland... We need a professional Canadian to come in on this. As opposed to a professional Australian. That joke's not nearly as good as I think it is it?
It'll pass.
But we can draft a Canadian or possibly someone close enough to the northern border to call themselves Canadian. It's like, have you dipped French fries in gravy?
No, but might that sounds amazing. It actually sounds really good. If you first hear about poutine, it's like, I don't know. And then you start seeing pictures of it. It's like, that looks like kind of a mess. Then you think about it. It's like, man, I bet that's fucking good. Anyways, disruptions rocking the Newfoundland and Labrador healthcare system are due to a cyber attack, Health Minister John Hagee confirmed Wednesday. Hagee's confirmation comes 5 days after the IT problems were discovered Saturday morning and after repeated government refusals to detail the situation that caused the cancellation of thousands of medical procedures, ranging from chemotherapy to x-rays. Okay, chemotherapy is not exactly something you want to fuck around with.
And, well, I have the last 2 years in this country.
Well, I know.
Dude, I think they're saving billions in not treating people.
Just doing the whole.
That's just my thing. That's my theory, dude. No one's peddling it but me.
Fair enough.
The amount of like elective surgeries and stuff like that that have been put off, got to be saving the healthcare system billions of dollars.
But does your nationalized healthcare system pay for elective? Because by definition, elective is something you don't need.
No, elective here is like, okay, you broke your arm, it didn't set correctly, we'll fix that for you.
That's not right. Elective.
Well, that's what they class elective as.
So your classification is elective is anything that you're not going to immediately die from?
Pretty much, madman. Yeah.
That's horrifying.
I mean, I broke my back, fuck, 2010? I want to say, no. Yeah, 2008. I'm still on a waiting list to see a specialist.
Those vertebrae have already healed, my friend.
No shit, right?
If they healed wrong, you're fucked. And well, any pain, I don't know, in the lower extremities could be due to a pinched everything.
It is. My man's completely fucked. But I went and did it privately myself. And, yeah, I ain't dealing with the medical system. Go fuck himself. But.
Yeah, quote.
Anyway, I got sidetracked.
Quote, we are not yet clear on the total extent of the failures. We know we have been subject to an attack, Hege said. Hege would not comment on who may be behind the attack, what the communication there's been with those behind it, or what the type of cybercrime is. Well, what kind of cybercrime locks out a network and forces you to not operate with it until you pay them?
That would be ransomware, and why the hell is a chemo machine on the internet? That goes on the list. Things that should not be on the internet is anything to deal with a foundry, because I've seen those and it's scary. You should not be able to control something that is in thousands of degrees Fahrenheit with a click of my mouse button, which you can't, and I was never there. anything to do with injecting poison into people. We think of chemo treatments as medicine. No. It is, we're going to kill you. We're hopefully going to kill the thing that's killing you faster than we're killing you. And then nurse you back to health after we're done poisoning you. So any machine that's deciding how much poison do we shove into Madman to kill Madman's tumor without killing Madman doesn't need to be on the internet, because there's some fucktard similar to Madman wondering what else on the internet. Oh, here's an Iron Geek seminar showing all this other shit. I wonder if I can do what he's doing. Oh, I can. They still haven't fixed it. No, no.
Hey, let's see what this button does. Let's see what this button does. Oh, you just killed somebody's grandmother.
Just killed somebody's grandmother. Somebody's going in for an MRI, another machine that does not need to be on the internet. Those technicians get dosed with enough radiation as it is without me or anyone else being able to randomly turn on the machine.
Let's hope you don't have any fillings. They don't really do metal fillings anymore, but you know what I mean.
Even if they don't have anything metal in them, you can only be a technician for that machine so long because the radiation is dangerous. And then here we are. Let's put it on the internet where anyone can flip the on switch randomly. So you're in there thinking it's all off, you're safe, you're not getting any extra rads today. Maybe dusting the thing, whatever the fuck maintenance you do on that shit. And then, oh, you hear these little ticky noises and the little spinny motor thing. You're like, oh, God.
I was going to say, MRIs aren't quiet, so you'd notice if it was on. But that's your point is still well made.
You still have how long to get behind that fucking shield? I'm a fat guy. That's more radiation than I need.
Alma sperm.
Oh.
those grandchildren I was wanting to have one day might have four fingers, two toes, and be retarded as fuck.
And that's not even accounting for the radiation.
Oh, and now that's also been encrypted because somebody clicked a bad fucking email. That's what this is going to come down to. Somebody in billing got a random email saying, "Hi, here's your spooky Halloween card. Click this link to send one to your friends." And they did. And the system was infected. And now somebody in chemo's dead because some bitch in accounting saw a funny ghost card for Halloween. And then somebody in the MRI lab has just got twice their normal daily amount of radiation.
Madman has heard me give these rants a little too often. He's getting pretty good at them himself. Pat.
No, I just got this wonderful phishing email that was that one that I described. And do you know what management decided would be a great counter to this? Send out the exact same fucking email copied in their email saying, "Don't click on this." It's like, sweet, I got two options to click on the same fucking email.
Well, depending on how they're doing the phishing test, usually everyone gets an individualized link so they can see who clicked on the phishing link.
It wasn't a test.
Oh.
And the warning was, here's this link that we just got sent. Don't click on it.
No!
Bad.
You don't do that. You go in the fucking proxy and say, "Don't allow this link to pass." Then you send out the thing saying, "Anyone who clicked this link, call the help desk." For fuck's sake.
Luckily, I'm safe because I check my email twice a day. And I checked it in the morning. It was there. I was like, "That's crap." I ignored it and then ignored it. Fine. I've passed so many phishing scam tests just because I don't check my fucking email.
That is, you know, when we do our phishing testing, that is one of the more fun metrics, is how many people just don't open their email. So, Pat Hepdeth, Vice President of Newfoundland and Labrador Health Center for Health Information, which handles the Providence healthcare IT needs, said their investigation revealed an unauthorized third party had compromised the system. Gee, you don't fucking say. "We're working hard now to gain full understanding of the attack, but there are still many unanswered questions," said Hepditch. Hepditch. I don't mean to mispronounce the dude's name. I just don't know how to say it. Revealing more might jeopardize the investigation into what happened and the efforts to restore the IT systems needed to get the bulk of the province's healthcare systems back online. Those involved in the attack might be actually monitoring what we're saying in media and on the floor of the House Assembly, Hagee said. "It's very important, therefore, that we don't do or say anything that compromises the efforts underway to investigate and resolve the matter." In other words, they're going to pay the fucking ransom and they don't want to spook the people into messing up their systems. And they must not have backups. Authorities, including the RCMP, are investigating, Hagee said. They and other experts being consulted recommend minimizing the information released to the public, he added. That is true. They usually do recommend not saying anything until you know what's going on. Quote, "We are following their advice. They know this area. This is not healthcare. This is cybersecurity. And these people are world class in their field," he said. Sources have told CBC News that it was a ransomware attack, a breach in which data or systems are encrypted until a ransom is paid. Ireland's healthcare system fell victim to a ransomware attack in May, with government officials refusing to pay the ransom. Hagee would not say if data had been lost in the attack. A price tag on repairing Newfoundland and Labrador's damage is also unknown. Quote, "We want this fixed. We'll do whatever it takes, and we'll work out the price later," Hagee said. While the cyber attack has affected all four of the province's health authorities to varying degrees, Western Health was initially thought to be the least affected. However, upon further investigation, the situation revealed as of Wednesday, Hepditch said, that and the safe thing to do was to take that health authority offline as well. Action has reduced much of that health authority to dealing with urgent procedures only, and it will remain that way at least through Friday, Hagee said. Western Health now joins Central Health and Eastern Health in operating largely offline. It also means the cancellation of a swath of regular procedures that are reliant on the main IT system. These procedures range anywhere from orthopedic intakes to pap smears. COVID-19 tests are also unavailable. Where's the button? Where's the button? I was planning on hitting the button, and now I can't find it. Did I replace the squirrel sound? There it is. Haggy said positive cases will get a call from public health, but if 72 hours goes by without one, you can assume you tested negative.
I just heard this correctly. In order to schedule an appointment, they need an internet connection.
Yep.
You can't call them, talk to someone in the building who's sitting at a keyboard, at a computer, in the same building, to type in, so-and-so will be here at 8:30 on Tuesday. This doctor's available.
Nope.
Or, here are our available times.
Because
which one would you like?
Because, Madman, the computers that are doing that are accessing a centralized scheduling and healthcare database system. So if that system is down, it doesn't matter if you're talking to somebody at a computer or using an external website. The system holding the calendar and the availability itself is likely what's locked out.
Yeah, that just means they're not storing any of your information in the hospital.
They're not storing any of their information
in the hospital. It's all off-site nowadays.
No, I mean...
I remember when doctors had first got their computers, and your information was in the doctor's office. You could call them, and they could schedule you an appointment.
No, the calendars are all digital. They don't have a paper calendar.
I remember when computers in the office with a digital computer on it, but the whole database was on the computer in the office. Now it's
okay, boomer.
Nothing's in there. It's literally Amazon has everything. I'm just hearing is Amazon Cloud has fucking everything. If they go down, the internet's dead.
It might be Nintendo's Cloud. You never know.
So one of the UHF guys that I talk to every now and then, he says that we're in a 10-year cycle of solar storms, which happens all the time. The next 10 years is going to be really good for UHF and those dudes who like to talk on radios. So if the internet goes down, good luck.
Am I the last person that stores shit on a hard drive in their house?
Man, I still have hard documents and I'm as close to analog as you can get.
I burn discs and store them in a box.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in thinking a big part of digital security would be at least having access and control of your own information? But and hospitals don't even have that now?
Nope.
There are three legs in the security stool. Availability, integrity, and confidentiality. Availability is what you're referring to, Mad Ben, and that the data is available even if there are systems having issues. Obviously, they have failed. Integrity is making sure other people don't have access to my data and can't alter it. Well, they can't alter it. Confidentiality is that they don't have access to it. But
if normies figured out how fragile this whole thing was, they would shit the bed.
If anybody knew, okay, if you understand, I'm not going to claim I really do, but you look at how a computer actually operates, what it's really doing. RAM is a series of latched transistors. Your CPU instructions are a series of microscopic transistors that work out known outcomes and run a firmware so that they can, you know, run microcode. So you have layers of abstraction upon layers of abstraction upon layers of abstraction before you ever get even to, you know, fucking DOS, let alone a Windows interface. It's amazing that any of it works at all.
And to tie it to such complex systems and then wait 40 years and then decide, fuck, we don't know how we did that anymore. You know, quick, try and find someone who used to know how to do this stuff. Well, just look at their pipeline.
Modern computers are so complex, there is not one person who knows everything from GUI down to electrical signals.
Oh, I'm not even talking about that, MOPS. Talking about the systems we use for registering and things like that, let alone if there's a massive power outage, what would happen to...
Well, how many of them are running in emulated mainframes because they don't want to change the software they paid $1 million for in the 70s?
There you go. Anyway, I could talk about system fragility for the entire day, but...
To finish out the article here, chemotherapy will go ahead at hospitals in Stephenville and Point-au-Basquez on Wednesday. I probably said that wrong. I don't really care. He said, while clients booked for Thursday and Friday will be contacted. Chemotherapy at the hospital in Corner Brook has been canceled since Monday as it relies on connecting to Eastern's health systems. The cyber attack has laid clear the digital interconnectedness of the health authorities. Labrador Grenfell Health has also been seriously impacted by the IT outage, said Hepditch. Quote, a number of their critical systems are connected to Eastern Health, so they were taken down through that connection, he said. Eastern Health, the largest health authority, is now working on a largely paper-based system. CEO David Diamond said there's no official tally to the backlog of canceled procedures, estimating it to be in the thousands. One of the hurdles working offline is contacting patients, he said. Urgent appointments will get a call where everyone else should just assume cancellation. Quote, we know there's a lot of angst, unquote, said Diamond, who asked for patience. The article kind of goes on about people are uncertain and scared and COVID is scary. But it's like, I mean, because it's a nationalized healthcare system, all this shit's tied together. So all these appointments and procedures there's canceling, you're basically stuck waiting on them to reschedule it because it's a nationalized healthcare. It's not you can't just go to the hospital in the next town over. I mean, they're all tied together. So, you know, if you're going to do that, you've got to get your IT security game right. And it's not cheap, which is why so many companies get it wrong. I'm being totally serious here. I mean, you all know my day job. Most companies get IT security wrong, not because they don't care or they're stupid. It's because getting it correct is absurdly expensive. And if you don't have an attack, then they don't ever see a return on investment. Seriously, you think about how a business operates, right? The cost of the patching, the monitoring, the data integrity, the network separation, the loss of productivity in other areas because you're making people jump through security hoops and do multi-factor authentication and all this other stuff. Most businesses look at that as just a giant cost sinkhole. And, you know, because humans are bad at estimating how likely a terrible event is to happen, and security people are bad at explaining it, too. I'm not going to, what's the first thing a security person says? Oh, just assume your system is compromised. Well, most people don't want to hear that, so they ignore it.
And that's also not a good motivator, because if you assume that I have cancer, then why the fuck does it matter? I'm dying anyway.
Well, I mean, everybody dies. I mean, you know, if you want to take that attitude, you know, eventually we'll have the heat death of the universe and nothing will matter. So you might as well just lay down and die right now, right? Why do anything? The universe is going to end. But, you know, that fun philosophical nightmare aside, you know, businesses look at security as a giant cost. And most businesses that even get close to getting it right are either businesses that have recently had a security incident and thus are trying to fix it. And I do mean recently because, you know, management will change out. You have new people come in who don't know what's happened in the past or don't care. And then you have people who've never had an incident and they think, well, it's not going to happen to me. Why would somebody hack us? We're good people. Nobody would hack us. It's like, no, that's not how this works. But, you know, it's like they don't care. They just want to get money out of you. If they can get into your system, they will. So I've tried to do the time scale thing where it's like, okay, the probability of my system being breached right now, I'll throw it at 10%. I'll give a number, 10% probability that, you know, I have a system that's breached, you know, within the next hour. Probably 10%. Okay, what's the probability that I have a system breached tomorrow? Maybe 11%. You know, it's not going to go up that much. What's the probability that I'm going to have a system breached in the next week? Maybe 12%. What about the next month? Well, man, now maybe we're talking about 20%. likelihood that it could happen. Next year, now you're probably getting up into the 35s. Next 5 years, 50, 60%. Lifetime of the system, damn near certainty. So it's not that I think my system is going to get breached tomorrow. It's just that I think at some point in the life of my system, I'm going to have a security problem. So I should plan for it while I can. And most likely, by the way, it's not going to be while the system is brand new, being installed and, you know, bells and whistles. Sometimes it is because it's new and people don't know what they're doing. Most likely it's going to be near the end of the life of the system when it's old, not being maintained, and all the people who understood how it was set up have left. But, you know, again, these arguments are lost on people who make decisions because it's expensive to fund security and, you know, project managers make promises to try to save money everywhere they can and then tell the security people they're going to have to be more creative with meeting their security policy requirements. It's like you told somebody you were going to save the entire security budget, didn't you? So it's like, not the entire security budget. Yeah, well, that's on you because we didn't promise that. This is what we have to do to meet policy. Have fun. So, I don't know. Dead horse?
Yeah, I think we talked about it.
Last article for tonight is from The Verge. Microsoft is resurrecting Clippy.
Yes. I want that annoying paperclip every time I open up a fucking Word document or start a project. Would you like to do a resume? No, I'm typing a letter to my granny.
Shut up, Wesley.
Would you like to do a cover letter? No, I'm making a random list.
It's worse, madman. Microsoft is bringing Clippy to Microsoft Teams. After first resurrecting the annoying paperclip 2 years ago and then killing it off after a few days, a sticker pack will be available in Microsoft Teams soon that includes lots of different versions of the anthropomorphic paperclip. Yes, it's true. Where's the sound clip? What sound clip? Clippy doesn't have a sound clip.
I changed his name to Dumbass the last install I had that had Clippy in it.
Oh, Microsoft is bringing Clippy back to Teams. Are you happy now? Is that what you wanted?
Thank you.
I hope you are aroused.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. Sticker pack will be available. Okay, I already read that. Yes, it's true. Clippy's agreed to come out of retirement, exclaims Microsoft would be more accurate, confirming the return of Clippy to Microsoft Teams. Whether you loved him or hated him, Clippy is back with a retro sticker pack in Teams. So it's just smileys, but still. I
work
with people.
You wouldn't think there's as much Clippy pornography out there as I've just found. You wouldn't have thought, but it exists.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded. I'm going to be honest with you.
If there's any, there's too much.
Yeah.
Hold up.
The new retro sticker pack looks like the same stickers that a team of Microsoft employees created for Teams more than 2 years ago. Microsoft officials were quick to shut down the project, and a source at the time revealed brand police inside the company weren't happy that Clippy showed up in Teams. Clippy started off life in Office 97, politely offering hints for using Microsoft Office software. People had mixed responses to the Groucho browed interruptions, and Clippy's stint as Office Assistant came to an end in 2001 with Office XP. I remember that fucking thing going on a lot longer than that.
Yep.
My fucking crap, and there's a dog.
Yeah, I see you landed at the same page I landed.
Gladys is dead to me now. I can have any blob doll I want.
Artie, why? Why is this? Why did you talk to about it? Why did I type it into Google?
Because you really want to get some interesting Facebook ads next time you log in.
Oh, no.
Facebook will see this. Everyone will see this. They'll see that I saw clipping a dog. No one should know this exists.
Microsoft has been reluctant to embrace Clippy as a meme in its Office or Windows products until earlier this year. Clippy has now returned to replace the standard paperclip emoji in Windows 11 and has been part of the Teams backgrounds and now stars in a sticker pack in Teams. So are they lampooning themselves? No, I have people I work with who are going to be using the Clippy meme stickers seriously. They're going to send that in response to things, and it will never go away. And worse, I know that there's going to be a real person behind it rather than a poorly written if-then statement. Okay.
Look at the bright side. At least when you type, when it asks, do you want help? You know, it's an actual person at the other end and not Clippy. I don't know if that person will be more or less useful than Clippy. It helped me, I think, once out of the hundreds of times I asked for help from Clippy, or I renamed him Dumbass.
So, unfortunately, DP View has just discovered in IRC that, you know, time is a thing and is terrible. And you realize the 90s were a lot longer ago than you thought. And it's like, oh, fuck. It's like, I remember, you know, you pull the Game Boy out and you're like, I remember when I first got this. This thing was awesome. Then you look at the calendar, then you Google, when did the Game Boy come out? And then you cry a little because you realize, fuck. Then you go out and yell at kids to get off your lawn. So, or in my case, old man yells at cloud. anyways, where was I? Dojo, right.
The fighters in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's one thing that'll remind you that you're old.
Wait, what's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
Yes.
Huh.
Drummer from Nirvana. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now.
Huh. Well, thanks for that, Madman.
Yep, you're old.
I thought it was good. Usually, you know, it's a Commodore 64 joke, and somebody goes, what's a GRU at work? And I'm like, oh, God. Or, you know, somebody, you know, they're talking about the computers they started with, and they're talking about Windows XP. It's like, wait, what? It's like, you know, or somebody pulls up, like, you know, the Gateway laptop and says, man, look at this old thing. It still used CDs. And you're like, what? It's like,
uses CDs. I remember floppy disks, you child. Go away now.
I remember zip disks were going to be a thing. I have a box of them. I have a big box of zip disks in the closet. And they all work. Anyways. Right. Where was I? Digital Dojo. Not existential crisis at all. Right. Time for a midlife crisis. So what I have for you tonight in Digital Dojo is a project called SSS3, or the Simple Storage Scanner. SSS3 is a simple S3 bucket testing software. It uses the AWS CLI to search for public buckets in a list of domains and subdomains. You feed the thing a URL list, and it will tell you if you found public S3 buckets. Because when you find public S3 buckets, you find all kinds of things, not just the shit they're hosting on the website. Midlife crisis is at the middle of your life. Take that as you will. Huh. Well, considering I intend to live forever, I've got a bit. So, let's see. Yeah, it uses AWS CLI, and, you know, you need an S3 policy. Should have a list of previously enumerated domains and subdomains. So pretty much, it's an S3 tester. You feed it a domain list. It'll tell you whether or not it's an S3 bucket and whether it could find it and whether or not it's public. So there are all kinds of fun uses for this. I will leave those to your imagination.
Oh, it's just I've set up some S3 buckets, and now I want to make sure that what shouldn't be public isn't public.
Correct.
All I would ever use that for.
And never anybody else's website. No.
I wouldn't, check to see if your buckets were public.
Right.
I don't want to see what's in your bucket. Bucket's weird.
It's got a hole in it.
Bucket's normal.
Bucket has a hole in it. I told somebody that they're doing the bucket song, at work because they had circular requirements. And they said, "What's the bucket song?" It's like, you don't remember the bucket song from elementary school? And then I realized, no, you're fucking old. Nobody else knows what the hell you're talking about. It's like, oh my God. Madman, closing thoughts.
Did I share the Clippy art with the rest of...
No!
He's going to rape you. What do you mean for sharing Rule 34 Clippy art?
I would never do that without asking for... This isn't something you should randomly click on.
I mean, if you're going to mask the links and send them to other people, I'm not going to warn them, but... It's like this.
Think you're getting Rickrolled, but no, it's actually Clippy and horribleness.
I mean, this has got to be the worst link you've posted in at least 15 minutes. So, I mean.
Hey, I forgot Harlequin babies existed for the benefit of everyone. Especially are you.
I'm not a fan of those things either. Those things creep me out. Harlequin babies and wasps, man. Fucking hate wasps. Anyways,
I'm typing both of those in and seeing.
Are you closing thoughts?
Stop him from typing now. Pull the router or something.
We're gonna have to call somebody who lives a little closer.
Rule 34 Harlequin wasps. And that's all I have on that one.
Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit in the IRC tonight. We have DP View, Psychros, Madman, myself, and Striker. We just did closing thoughts out of order, so I'm going to play sound effects and close out the show now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Sounds good. Nose down and call tonight.
Shut up, Wesley.